Like I said, my name is Ansley Post, and this was work done with my colleagues at MPI SWS. Some of us have now moved on to other jobs, including myself, who is now at Google. So let me start off with a brief outline. So first of all, in this talk, I'm going to present the motivation of the problem that we're trying to solve. Then I'm going to try to give you a more exact definition of that problem. Next, I'm going to present our system, which is called Podbase, present an evaluation, and then finally conclude. So in order... Okay, in order to motivate our problem, I want to step back and look at how data is managed in the enterprise. If you're a worker in an office and you carry something like a BlackBerry, all your data is always synchronized everywhere, and this is because the IT staff has set up infrastructure that allows you to sync that data everywhere. If you write some document, that document is stored redundantly on some high-end servers that have redundant drives, so in case a drive fails, you will not lose that data. That data is finally backed up onto tape, where in case there's a software failure or security breach, it can be restored from. And finally, it's put into offsite storage, which protects against catastrophic failure, such as a natural disaster or a fire. Now, I want to contrast that with how data is managed in the home. So in the home, unlike a uniform infrastructure that's maintained professionally, we have a bunch of different heterogeneous devices. Connectivity is drastically different between, say, a USB drive and a wide area network. And we have a whole bunch of different use cases. Each user is trying to get something different out of their set of devices. And what's more is that the users in this scenario are inexperienced and often reluctant administrators. They don't necessarily know how to manage their storage, and moreover, they don't even want to do that. So in this environment, you often have different types of devices, such as video cameras, digital cameras, and iPods, which are connecting to different devices in the system. In addition, you might have some cloud storage where you're able to store some of your data. So now I want to look at an idealized solution to the problem of personal data management. What we would like to do is use all available storage and connectivity to replicate data for durability. That means to make the user's data safe. So if you have more than one computer, such as a desktop and a laptop, whenever you make a change to an important document or create an important document, for example, something like a thesis, that document would automatically be copied to the laptop. In addition, if you're traveling and you're editing the document on the plane and you have an iPod with you, if that iPod is connected and had free space, you could opportunistically connect that data to that iPod. Thus, if your laptop is stolen or something like that, you can actually recover this important piece of data to you. So now, let me introduce the system that we designed and built. The name of the system is Podbase, and what it is a system for automated, transparent data management for personal devices. And it's OS and vendor neutral. This means it should work today without any changes to the operating system or without any special software or changes to existing software. And what it provides is for lay users transparent replication for both the purposes of durability and availability. And I'll define those terms a little bit more specifically in a moment. And the two things that it seeks to take advantage of is that it wants to opportunistically and transparently exploit available resources. So in the home, we have a lot of opportunities for very fast connections. Things like USB or Wi-Fi, which is much faster than things like DSL. And we want to require minimal user attention to operate the system. These are users who aren't very technical, we're targeting it, and we won't want them to have to do anything that's too onerous to them. And the second part of our system that's unique is that we use a linear programming approach to automate the replication of data. And this allows the system to adapt to changing conditions in the home and allows it to sort of self-correct when it makes mispredictions. So let me more specifically state what the system goals are. So we have a set of intermittently connected personal devices of different sizes and of different capabilities. And the goal of the system is to, first of all, opportunistically propagate information. And the information it's trying to propagate is, again, like in the previous talk, both metadata and data. And what we want to do is replicate both for availability and durability. And when I say durability, we define something as k-durable, if that device would withstand the failure of K devices. So we want to have all files in the system K durable, meaning they won't be lost if you lose up to K devices. And for both of these definitions, I've written slightly more specific equations below to be more concrete. And second of all, we want data to be available. That means it should be available on all devices where it is useful. And this is simply meaning something like if a device is capable of communicating, it has your address book on it, and if it's capable of playing music, it will store your music files. Now, at this point, I want to talk a bit more about what a user of our system has to do. And like I've talked about before, we want to minimize all the tasks that a user has to do. So when a user is using our system, when they add a new device, they have to tell our system, obviously, so that the system can utilize the storage space. Optionally, a user can report a loss of the device to the system, which gives the system better information about the current state of all the data. If the user wishes to restore the data stored on that lost device to some new storage or some storage they already have in the system, they need to tell the system that so the system can start copying data around onto the new device. We also want the system to warn the user when they're running out of space. And so we said that all files should be k-durable. K is something that varies based on the amount of free storage you have in the system. So we want to tell the user when they're going from having 3 copies of every piece of their data to 2 copies of every piece of their data and give them an opportunity to add some new storage to the system. For example, maybe a cheap USB external hard drive. And while we're mostly concerned with just replicating things behind the user's back and not exposing the users to the system, we provide an API for device and type-specific functionality through something that we call plugins. And this has access to the internal state of the system and can do more complicated things. So for example, it can archive data by looking at how you're using your files and saying, well, maybe we could move some files to another device for you. Or it can do more complicated things like synchronization and reconciliation, which requires application-specific knowledge. So now let me talk a bit more about the design of the system. So in the system, we have what we call storage devices. And these can be things like laptops or external USB drives or iPods or even cameras. And what's stored on each storage device is 3 things. One are user files. These are simply the files that would be present on this device if our system wasn't running. Second, it contains metadata. And this is data about the state of the system and the state of all objects stored in the system. And this is a bit different from Jacob's definition of metadata, and it's just talking about which devices are stored where, plus some additional information. And finally, it stores what are replicas, which are actually just copies of content that currently exist on another device or have existed in the past on another device. And these replicas and metadata are actually stored in part of the file system that's sort of hidden from the user. It's buried from them and stored securely and encrypted by the system. And it's stored with a per-user key so that while you might worry that you're storing your data on more devices, it's not going to be accessible if you lose it or if someone tries to break into it. So now let's look at what happens when 2 devices interact. So when 2 devices interact, the first thing that they try to do is try to bring their view of the system back into sync. So they were disconnected, things might have happened in the meantime. So what they do is exchange what I call metadata, and first thing they exchange is a version vector. And this just is a logical clock that's updated whenever anything changes on a device, and this allows the 2 devices to decide which new information is available to them. So the things that get exchanged here is, first of all, a connection history. This is simply a log of all connections each of these devices have had with all other devices in the system and how fast those connections were. And you'll see why this is useful in a moment. Next, it's a list of files stored, both replicas and user files, that are now available in the system. And finally, it exchanges information about how much free space is currently available on each device in the system. So once these things are reconciled, it provides an approximate global view that's been brought up to date between the state of the 2 devices. And one thing I'd like to point out, and there's more detail in the paper, is that this process works even when a device is too small to carry all of the metadata. So we have an algorithm for small devices which allows it to choose a subset of the metadata which brings the most information to the other devices in the system. And if you're interested in that, I encourage you to look in the paper. So once 2 devices' metadata are brought into sync, we now have to decide which files should be replicated where. And to do this, we take the reconciled metadata, which I've talked about before, which includes things like the connection history, and a set of goals. And these are specifically the goals I talked about at the beginning, both durability and availability, and exact parameters for those functions. And we also take in a set of actions which the system's allowed to perform. So the system's really only allowed to do 3 things in our instantiation of it. It's allowed to move files between 2 devices, it's allowed to copy files from one device to another, and it's allowed to delete replicas that it's already storing. These 3 things are then fed into a process which outputs a linear programming problem, which is then fed to an off-the-shelf linear programming solver. The output of this solver is actually a multi-step plan based on speculation about which devices will interact in the future and how much free space they'll have. And it's okay if this plan ends up being wrong, because it's recomputed every time two devices connect to each other, whenever metadata is changed. And so this multi-step plan might tell this device down at the bottom to copy a certain amount of files from other devices to itself and delete some amount of files that it's already storing, for example, if there's not enough free space. So at this point, I'd like to go over an example to show why this is a really cool thing, how we're doing this replication. So I'd like to you to imagine a scenario where you have a desktop machine at your home and a desktop machine in your office, and you have some large amount of files that are spread across both. If you were to use the wide area network connection, something like DSL, which is very limited in its upload rate, it would take you a long time to move these files back and forth. But if you say you have an example, a laptop, which you carry back and forth to work with you, each time it's in each of these places, it has a very fast connection between it and the desktop machines. So the system will notice this fast connection, and through the process of the planner, it will decide that this laptop should carry these files back and forth between your home and your office. And by doing this, you can achieve a much faster speed of replication than you could without this planning process. And what this gives you is that the files that you have that are only replicated once, they're safer much faster than it would have spent if you had taken a long time to upload them over the wide area network. And basically, without us programming anything, just as a result of using this planning process, it's discovered sort of a sneaker net algorithm, which is really cool way to move the files back and forth. And it's actually the fastest way of doing it. And all we stated were these actions, these goals, and the current state of the system. So I think that's really cool. So at this point, I've presented the system. I'm now going to move on to the evaluation that we've done. So I'm going to talk very briefly about the implementation. If you want more detail, you can look in the paper. But we implemented the system in Java, and we had to do a small amount of customization per OS. And we did this for the major desktop operating systems. If someone wanted to extend this system to something more special purpose, like an Android phone, they would have to do a little bit more work, but it wouldn't be re-implementing the whole system. And we use an off-the-shelf linear programming solver as the planning engine. Like I said, our system formulates the plan, and then we just hand it off and then take the output. So in the evaluation, we did two main parts. So we did a controlled evaluation to validate the basic functionality of the system, that it worked in some contrived scenarios, that it was able to restore data, and that everything else worked as we expected. I'm not going to talk about that today. Again, you can look in the paper if you're interested. The main part that we spent a lot of work doing was a user study among 10 households within MPI SWS. And they deployed Podbase on a majority of their storage devices. And as I said before, the system was designed to unobtrusively provide availability and durability. And I really had to hold this up because these were my colleagues at work. And if the system was being obtrusive, they would come and yell at me. And I'd like to note that while all of the users were computer science researchers, it was actually deployed to devices that were used by other members of their household. So it wasn't all technical users. So as a brief summary of the types of devices and the amount of free space each of these households have, I'm going to show this graph. So we have 10 households, and the red line shows the amount of use space, the amount of files they were storing. The green bar shows the amount of free space. And for three of our households, we kind of eyeballed the amount of free space and the amount of use space they had and decided to give them a simple off-the-shelf 1 terabyte USB hard drive to make things more interesting and to make sure the system would be able to do something interesting. And these households were very varied. They had 25 devices among them. The amount of devices they had ranged between 2 and 10. The types of devices varied differently. There's some had up to 3 or 4 computers. Other had mostly external hard drives and things like iPods. And we ran the system for 30 days. The system was actually in development and deployment for much longer than that, but the data collection was over the course of 30 days. So at this point, I'd like to look at the replication results. So what this graph shows you is the state of the system, both at the beginning of the study and at the end of the study. The bar on the left shows the initial conditions, and the bar on the right shows the final conditions for each household. The key observation I'd like you to take out of this graph is this red color. And this indicates how many files the user had that were only replicated once. That means these files were actually vulnerable. If one of their users' devices failed, they would actually lose all these files. And what I'd like you to note is between the initial and the final part of the system, this red bar shrunk drastically in all of the households. So many more of the user's files were safe at the beginning than they were at the end. Note this number didn't go all the way down to zero because the users were actually changing their files as the system was running. And a few of the users had very bandwidth-constrained connectivity that didn't allow their files to replicate completely in the period of time we had. And what's more is that beyond just having 2x, the system was able to determine for some users that it was actually able to replicate data more than 2 times. And so for these users, some of their data was replicated 3 or even 4 times in the course of the study. And one thing also to note is that the data is automatically deduplicated by the system. So for even if there's one copy, it's able to realize that that copy is the same across multiple devices. So next, I would look to look at a sample of bandwidth results, how much bandwidth or how much time was required to replicate data during the course of the study. And I've selected 5 of the households. These are the 5 households who replicated their data the fastest. Data for the other 5 is available in the paper. And it looks at how quickly a object spent in the state where it was only replicated once over the course of the study. And I would like you to look in particular at household 1. In household 1, you can see over the course of around the first 100 hours, data was replicating very slowly. And at around 150 hours, it shoots up very drastically. And this is because the 2 devices were over a very fast connection at this point in time, and the system was able to do a lot of work. And if you think about this, it makes sense that this can happen, but also if you think about one possible solution to storage management, it could be that you just upload all of the user's files into the cloud. And uploading this amount of data into the cloud would take drastically longer than the results that we have here. And so this shows even if you do have cloud storage, which our system can take advantage of, you can get safety faster if you're using this adaptive approach that places data as quickly as possible. So in summary, we've shown through our evaluation that pod-based transparently improves durability and availability for personal devices. I didn't talk much about availability in the evaluation, but there's more information about that in the paper. The user study shows that the system is deployable and useful today, and it was done without having to do any modifications to the OS or applications. It adapts and takes advantage of free space, high bandwidth device connections, and can react to different user behaviors of how the user is using the system, which is an important aspect when we can't predict how users are going to behave. So in conclusion, I've presented a system pod-based, which, as I've said, uses the free storage space opportunistically. And through this prototype that we had in the paper, we showed that it's deployable and useful. And at this point, I would like to take any questions that you might have.
Do you have any mechanism for handling files that you don't want to appear on certain devices for either because of security reasons or just professional private separation reasons, that kind of a thing?
Yes. So like I mentioned in the presentation, this thing is mostly targeted at lay users who aren't going to want to control these things. But the system is actually fairly flexible, like this plugin aspect that I talked about. You could stick that in, and that gets upcalls whenever the replication is taking place, and you could sort of blacklist certain files, or you could point the system at only a subset of the files.
Do you believe that same extension mechanism would be sufficiently capable to allow, for instance, devices where you would only store the files encrypted, such as cloud storage, or?
Yes, it would absolutely be able to do that as well.
Thank you.
Hi, it's interesting work. I was wondering, when 2 devices do become accessible to each other, mm-hmm. how aggressive are you at replicating the data for how much of the available bandwidth you use or, you know, possibly CPU on the devices?
Yeah, that's a good question. And the answer is, at first, we would sort of try to do everything as quickly as possible and saturate the connection. But during the course of the user study, or as it was being developed, I got a lot of feedback about how people wanted to use their DSL connection for something other than running the system. And so you can cap that. So I try to not use the whole connection, basically try to scale it back.
So I'm curious, how many of the users who you deployed your system to
continued to use Podbase after the end of your study?
So some users continued to use it for a short time after the study, but I sort of moved on and got a job and then sort of stopped supporting it quite as well. And then,
so was it because they needed support, or was it?
It was because I asked them to use it, and then I wasn't bothering them like to say, oh, you need to keep this running, and eventually people stopped using it.
Okay. And then the other thing I was wondering about was, in terms of durability in, mm-hmm. in your system, do you consider all copies to be roughly equivalent?
Yes, we do consider all copies to be roughly equivalent. So basically, there's a scoring function in it. Each one of them is given a 1 for each place that's present. But it would be an easy extension to, in the linear programming formulation either, just to put a coefficient next to each device saying, I think this device is 50% as reliable as this other device. But then again, we don't imagine home users would do that, but maybe some power users or something would do this.
Thanks.
Yep.
Can you say something about why did you need the solver in the first place?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the system was in development for quite some time, and we actually started off with a sort of simple greedy approach. And then we noticed some cases where it was failing. For example, this sneaker net type thing. Like, as soon as one device got filled up, the system would sort of stall. And we thought this was really undesirable since we didn't know who the users of the system would be, what devices they would have, how they would act. And we said, well, the system just has to work out of the box for everyone. And so we can't do something simple because it will eventually break.
Okay, let's thank the speaker.